and hopefully continue our study. And what does God think? What does God think? And last time we talked about a number of things a couple weeks ago, and I want us to consider what God thinks about a number of situations this morning. First one we want to look at today is, what does God think when we help and encourage those preaching the gospel? Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. Interesting passage that relates some of Paul's feelings that I think we can understand how God feels about when we encourage those preaching and proclaiming the gospel. Philippians 4, starting in verse 14. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the thing sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me greet you. We can see this interesting passage. It talks about Paul being thankful for brethren sharing when he was in distress, when he was in need. But then notice what he says in verse 18. He calls this gift that he received a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And then we see that God will supply their needs. That's what Paul says. So it's a good thing. It's a very good thing. God, what does God think about it? He's very pleased when we support those preaching the gospel. How about when we take time to thank God for the successes he allows us to have in this life? Do we take enough time to thank him for that? We talk about how blessed we are in our country, in our nation. And sometimes we get the feeling, well, look what I did. Look what I accomplished. Look, I just got a raise. I've got enough money to pay the bills. Do we thank the Lord for those things? Colossians 3, verse 17 says, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father through him. And we pray to God for a lot of things, don't we? We ask God to help us with different things. A lot of times we pray for those who are traveling. I know I prayed a number of times for Julie and Hannah and Jesse and Samantha so they could have a safe journey back and forth. But do I take the time when they get back home safely to thank God? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for taking care of them, taking care of all them, bringing them home. Those are things that we can be thankful for that. We can thank God every time we have a success in our job, or we accomplish something in school, or we get a degree, those are times to thank God. Thank God. Thank you, Father, for helping me. A great song, Count Your Blessings, gives the correct attitude. When we start sitting back and start thinking about all the blessings that God has given us, it does two things. It reminds us of how blessed we are, and it helps us to deal with those few things that are irritating. Helps put them in perspective. Mark and I talk about this a lot because, you know, Mark's been dealing with a lot of things. But you know what? He's got a great attitude. And me and him talk about that a lot of times because he has trials, but he understands we all have trials. They're just in different forms. And if we keep them in perspective, we sit down and count the blessings. I'm able to live. I'm able to breathe. You know, how does God think about that attitude? I think he loves that attitude. because it's an attitude of keeping this life and the trials in perspective. When we are thankful to God, when we really got it going is when we can be thankful to God when we go through a really tough trial, because I know it's for my good. See? Because our home isn't here. We want to get to heaven. And keeping trials in perspective is a good thing. Here's one. Here's one that we can all relate to. What does God think when we honor our president and pray for him, even though we disagree with him? You know, it doesn't need to be just our president. It could be other presidents. It could be other leaders. It could be other governors, local people. How does God feel about it when we pray for them? Notice a couple of verses here. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Starting in verse 13. Peter says, now remember where Peter lived. If you don't remember that, remember that Peter lived in Jerusalem. Remember that Peter lived in a place that was an occupied territory of the Roman government. And just remember that. Keep that in some context. Peter says, therefore submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Who do we do for? Not for our sake. Not for others' sake. For the Lord's sake. Submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence ignorance of foolish men, as free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Really powerful passage. Well, when you think about where Peter was and relate what he's telling us, it can really help us in our proper attitude about our leaders. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 1. Therefore I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Notice that, all men. All men are worth a prayer. All women are worth a prayer for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. I could just stop there for a second. We have many prayers. We want God to allow us to live peaceably. We want God to allow us to live in freedom. We want God to allow us to raise our children in an environment that is consistent with His will. And those are good things, and I've heard some wonderful prayers about that over the years. Notice verse 4. Who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. You know what? I missed that part for years. Included in our prayers for our leaders is a prayer that they might save their souls, that they might submit to God. And when we think about those in government who we disagree, and we realize that they're a soul that needs the salvation of Jesus, it should help us. Help us in our attitude. Help us to pray for them. And then when we do that, we see that's what God wants. It's His will. First Peter talked about it as being God's will. When we do God's will, He's pleased with that. Because He wants everybody to be saved. From the kings and presidents to the lowest. He wants them all to be saved. How about when we sincerely honor our parents? When we sincerely honor our parents. Now this one hits everybody in here. Because you all have had parents. Every one of you. Including me. Ephesians 6 verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. Over at Colossians chapter 3, verse 20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Is that easy sometimes? Is it easy for my children to obey me in all things? As this says, sometimes it's hard on them. Sometimes I want them to do things that they don't understand. Sometimes I want them to do things because I want them to learn something that they'll need later on that they just they aren't there yet. Here the Lord tells us, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. We don't have to wonder if what God thinks about this. When we obey our parents, when we honor them, this is well-pleasing to the Lord. It's well-pleasing. Even though sometimes it's a challenge. Sometimes it's a challenge for us who are older, who have parents that do things that we don't agree with. It's a challenge. But you know what? It's well-pleasing to God. So we need to strive to do that. How about when we give up things? We give up things, fleshly things, to be conformed. So folks try to conform us to this world, but when we give them up and we turn our back on those things, how does God feel about that? Romans 8, verse 5, beginning. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So when we come down to it, when we give up fleshly things, when we give up worldly things to be spiritually minded, this passage tells us not only is God pleased when we do that, it's absolutely it's a necessity. It says, verse 8, so then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So what does he think? He thinks that's good. He also thinks it's absolutely necessary for us to be spiritually minded on his will. Let's go to James chapter 4. James 4. Verse 7. Therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your minds, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Notice buried in this passage is a phrase that says, purify your hearts, you double-minded. What is he talking about there? Purify your hearts. See, because what the temptation is to enjoy the worldly pleasures while also being spiritual. That's what we want. That's what Satan wants us to try to do. But notice how we draw near to God is by purifying our hearts and being single-minded, being focused on God's will, not double-minded, single-minded. When we give up those things, and when we can overcome temptations, the Lord always wins. He always wins. He always wins. How does he feel when we simply keep his commandments? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 1 and 2. Kind of an interesting passage. So read it carefully with me, if you would. 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 and 2. Finally, then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you received from us how you ought to walk and to please God. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. And here, if you look back in the first verse of 1 Thessalonians, we see that this letter is a greeting to Paul, from Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians. Okay, so Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy are saying, okay, you know what we've taught you. You know that we've taught you those things that on how you ought to walk and how you ought to please God. And you know the commandments we gave you were through the Lord. When we hear the commandments and we obey them, that's a blessing. Jesus said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. Notice one verse in 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verse 22. Notice what John connects in this passage. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Flip that around. What if we don't keep His commandments and we don't do things that are pleasing in His sight? Do you think whatever we ask of Him, He's going to give us? Just flipping that around. But see, it's what is it conditional on? It's conditional on our keeping His commandments, following His will. And when we do that, we're going to be blessed in all sorts of ways. And a great blessing is knowing that God is going to answer our prayers and give us what we need. Romans 8:28, a passage that I think sometimes we quote and talk about a lot, but we don't read it very much because we quote it so much. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. If you love me, you keep my commandments. Here the passage puts together, if you realize that when you love God and you do keep His commands, it's going to work out for good. It's going to be good. And God will be pleased. How about when we try to follow the example of Jesus? Let's look back in John. John 8:29. I was thinking about something that kind of connected with what Brian said about wrath. When our leaders say things against God's will, doesn't it tempt us to be wrathful and angry? How about when somebody says you don't need Jesus to be pleasing to God? Doesn't that create a temptation like that? Look what Jesus said, verse 29 of John 8. And He who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please Him. Wow. Wouldn't that be great if we could all say, I always do what God wants me to do to please Him. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Isn't that our goal? To always do that? If we follow Jesus, the same Jesus that a lot of the world says you don't need, actually, we all absolutely need to follow Jesus. And we need to try to be like Him in every aspect of our life. We need to strive to do, for I always do those things that please Him. And you know what? The Lord asked a lot of Jesus, didn't He? But that's what His will was. Jesus, when we try to follow the example of Jesus, how does God feel about that? I think He rejoices. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. For to this you were called, and you brethren in this assembly, you could just personalize this. For this you were called. You were all called. Notice what you're called to do. Because Christ also suffered for us. And some translation says, because Christ also suffered for you. Leaving us an example that you should follow His steps. Who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in His mouth. Who when He was reviled, did not revile in return. When He suffered, He did not threaten, but committed Himself to Him who judges righteously. And Brian read that same verse, and it's a verse worth repeating. When we follow Jesus, how does God feel about that? He's very happy because Jesus pleased Him in every way, every step of the way. How about when we're baptized to wash away our sins? You know, some folks think you don't need to be baptized. And they say, why do you folks stress baptism so much? Let's go over to look at something and maybe take a different slant on this. And this is our last one. Matthew chapter 3. Starting in verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and are you coming to me? But Jesus answered and said to him, Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. Never picked up on that before. See that? For thus it is fitting for us. John needs to fulfill all righteousness, and Jesus needs to fulfill all righteousness. I never saw that before. Sorry. Then he allowed him. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Okay, now think about this. Jesus had no sin. Jesus did this, was baptized to fulfill all righteousness, because at this time, God's will was that people would be baptized in the baptism of John, which was for remission of sins. Now think about that. Jesus did this to fulfill all righteousness. He had no sin, and it was pleasing to God. Now what about today? We all have sin. We need to be baptized in the name of Jesus to wash those sins away. How does God feel about that? God was happy when Jesus did it, when he had no sin. Imagine how much he rejoices when a person that's full of sin is baptized and their sins are washed away in the blood of Jesus. Imagine the rejoicing there is. What does God think? Some closing thoughts. What does God think about you and me right now? It's a good question. We need to ask ourselves that. Our goal should be the same as that of the Colossians, to be well-pleasing. We have other passages we don't have time to read, but I encourage you to read Colossians 1, Hebrews 13. The goal is to be pleasing to God. If God isn't happy with you this morning, I encourage you to do something about it. If you're a Christian who needs to repent, do it now. Do it now. And if you're not a Christian, why are you waiting? Believe in Jesus. Confess that He is the Son of God. Repent of your sins and be baptized to wash away those sins. And then you can have the assurance that God is pleased with you. If we can help you in any way, please come forward while we stand and sing.